roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it is the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, our East co-host. What's up?
What up, Holmes?
Not much. I want to go over some cards that are coming up this weekend. Kind of like giving out some of that, some of those details that get overlooked, and it helps me avoid those texts. What time do the fights start on Saturday? Or what time do the fights start today? I figure I clear my conscience of at least telling you one time officially on Junkie Radio everything that's happening this weekend. And then, sure, I guess if I get the text and you catch me in a good mood, I'll answer it. But it's a double-edged... Well, no. It's not a double-edged sword. That's dumb. Why I say that? It here's why it pains me. Because in the time it took you to text me, you could have Googled it.
Oh, those are the worst.
Right?
Those are the
And you know what happens is sometimes, see, I'm a nice guy and I'll go, I'll say to myself. And then I'll look it up just to make sure. 3 Eastern... Noon Pacific, prelims, ESPN Plus, ESPN as well. And then it throws off my thought process. And then John Anik or somebody, Brandon Fitzgerald, will go, all right, here we go. These are lightweights. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't get my bet in. That little thing throws me off, and then I'm pissed. So let's try and avoid some of that stuff. And then when it's during the fight, of course, I'm watching the fights. I guess I'm grouchy is what I've come to the conclusion. So we'll give you all that. We're going to go over some of the latest news as well. And yeah, prep you, you know, kind of prep you for this coming up weekend. Because we have Bellator, UFC, and then there's a couple of Ryzen shows that are sneaking up. So if you really, really want to get your hands on as much MMA as possible, we'll give you all that information. All right, folks, buckle up. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a Thursday morning, August 6th.
Y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
All right, so let's get that out of the way. Let's get the schedule out of the way. Then we'll come back and talk about some of the latest news in the sport. This weekend, we have Bellator. It's Bellator 243, and it's Michael Chandler versus Benson Henderson in Uncasville, Connecticut. That's kind of where Bellator's home is right now for the foreseeable future, I believe. The same way the UFC started off with 3 shows in Jacksonville, then I believe it was 3 in Vegas, then it became 4 in Yas Island, Fight Island, and now 2 in Vegas again. And I think now going forward, it's either Vegas or Yas Island. I don't see them taking their arena series anywhere else. Maybe New Zealand. I mean, they got themselves a champion in Izzy. They got plenty of fighters in Kai Kara, France, and Brad, what's his name, Wheeler? The lightweight. And then you got Volkanovski, who's Australian. I'm sure he wouldn't mind fighting in New Zealand. Sometimes he trains at City Kickboxing in New Zealand. There's a few more. And so anyway, Whitaker's actually born in New Zealand, but he's been living in Australia for so long. I think a lot of people think he's Australian. Your question was infections?
Yeah.
It's low in New Zealand. They got it under control. It helps that they're an island, but also helps that they have a prime minister. I forget the lady's name, but she's solid, dude. From the very beginning, she said, nah, you're doing this, you're doing that, we're shutting this down. Boom, done. But I don't want to drill it to death. But literally about 2 months ago now, 6 weeks ago, I remember them having a rugby game with fans who were cheering and high-fiving. I don't remember seeing mass. Stadium was full. So I don't see why the UFC wouldn't want to take advantage of that. Hey, Paulo Costa, you want to be the bad guy? You're fighting in a stadium against Izzy. They could get the gate. It would be tremendous for that part of the world. It's not like they hate going to Oceania. They've been to New Zealand once, and they've been to Australia plenty of times. So, what do I need to do? Do I need to drive down there and go, hey, here's the map? Like a Sharpie, like President Trump, look, here's the map, fool. Take your fights down there. I think somebody asked him and he had a shit-eating grin. So I think Dana's on to it, maybe. But yeah, foreseeable future, it's the Apex Center or Yas Island, unless things really, really, really spike up. I mean, last week's show probably had to be a red flag, right, Goose? Some people got sent home with COVID. A few fainted. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if two people just fainted because they had nerves and anxiety over the game of fighting or if it was related to COVID.
Mm-hmm. But you got to imagine if you needed, like, alternate fighters on standby, Vegas is your spot, right? You can pull from Extreme Couture, Syndicate, 10th Planet. There's a lot of gyms that you
can pull from. And a lot of them just are staying here to take advantage of the PI, or they've moved here, or their rehab. Well, I guess a rehab fighter wouldn't be doing that. Wouldn't be filling in. But yeah, there's a lot of people in Vegas and Cali and New Mexico. That there's a lot of fight camps that are 1 hour trip away from Vegas. Well, anyway, so Uncasville is Bellator's foreseeable home, and they're going to be there on August 7th. That's tomorrow, folks, Friday. Chandler versus Henderson, too. They fought before. Chandler beat him. They're doing it a second time. Michael Chandler might be on his way out. He did some media recently. He didn't say that's a done deal in any way. He's always been pretty, handled himself like a professional in that regard. And two times, Bellator's been able to just grab him and say, nope, you're not going anywhere. He goes, okay. And they paid him well, and he was happy. But now he's 34, and he's no longer the champ. So we'll see. He's 20-5 overall. He's taking Benson Henderson on, 28-8, former WEC, former UFC champ. Chandler, former two-time Bellator champ. Timothy Johnson versus Matt Mitrione is the co-main event. Georgi Karakanyan versus Miles Jury at 155. I stress it because Karakanyan's fought a lot at 45, and Jury's tried it a couple times, but they're fighting at 155, I checked. Sabah Hamasi versus Curtis Millender, welterweights. Then on the prelims, which you can see on MMA Junkie, they start at 4:15 Eastern. Oh, sorry, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, 4:15 p.m. Pacific. Adam Borix is on the card. He's undefeated, 14-0. I know they highly think of him. He's in a catchweight at 150 pounds. AJ Agazarm, he's more known as a grappler, but so far he's 3-1 in his MMA career. Those are some of the names that I recognize there. And Grant Neal, way down at the bottom. He's on the card as well, as is Valerie Lareda. Why do they have Valerie Lareda at 2-0? I don't think that's right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Really?
She was just on Ablemos MMA with Danny Segura.
I must be thinking of someone. Oh, I got to check this one out. This one's going to bug me here.
And actually, I don't know if things have changed, but this is one where King Mo is one of the coaches helping her out.
Oh, really?
As of not too long ago. Yeah.
Hold on a second. I want to straighten this out real fast, and then we'll get the show going. Don't worry, folks. You're going to get it all. Valerie Laredo is fighting at Bellator 243. She's only 2-0. I must be thinking of Lara. That's right. There's a Lara that fights in MMA. Veronica Lara or V Lara MMA. I'm telling you, man, I haven't been paying attention to as much Bellator as before. Alejandra Lara, that's who I'm thinking of. Okay. Yeah, Valerie Laredo, 2-0. She's fighting. Her nickname's Master.
Yeah, she's got to work on that one.
I think so. So, let's circle back. I freaked out here. I opened all kinds of windows. We got Chandler versus Benson Henderson. So you know that the prelims start at 4:15 p.m. Pacific, 7:15 p.m. Eastern. Goes, why does Laredo have so much hype? Like a Paige VanZant type of hype. I know she's pretty, and I know she was. Was she on XL Tone as well?
I don't know about that, but I mean, come on, man. It's funny because there's a story on MMA Junkie about her wanting to shed this stigma about her. Mm-hmm. But it's because of what she does on Instagram and Twitter and all that.
Yeah.
You know, she's a very good looking girl. She puts up pretty sexy pics and videos. She wants to shed. I really didn't understand that. I think she should just say there's room to be both or something. No.
Yeah.
But who was it? Was it Curtis Blaydes or somebody was taking it to Pearl Gonzalez for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of same thing. But if she keeps winning, then there's not much people can say, right? So it's really on her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The main card starts at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. You can watch that on DAZN or Paramount. Paramount was the former Spike channel. They've changed their name so many times. But I think it's 241 if you have DirecTV like Goz and I. DAZN subscription based. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are unplugging and there's obviously some new fans too, because the UFC was the only show in town for a couple months, and so there's a lot of new fans. But yeah, Bellator's the number two promotion in the United States, in the world, and this is a pretty decent card. These are some good names that I threw out there, so check it out. And so DAZN is subscription based. They got a lot of boxing, and of course they have Bellator and then Paramount. So it's like a simulcast. Paramount is on your cable. It should be. I mean, cable and satellite lineup. All right, moving on. The UFC is the very next day. The UFC is here in Las Vegas. We have a main card with Derek Lewis versus Alexei Oleinik. This fight card is on ESPN+. The whole thing, top to bottom. They start at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Good names, folks. Kevin Holland might even be the first one up fighting. And I think he's a really, really good fighter. So he's fun to watch, man. I like that guy. Irwin Rivera, I remember he stepped in late notice and had a good account for himself. He gets a second fight. Justin Jaynes from Extreme Couture. He's back. Andrew Sanchez, longtime veteran. Alex Munoz, undefeated prospect. He fights Nasrat Haqparast. I think Munoz is the latest big thing out of Team Alpha Male, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Tim Means, he's on the fight card as well. Then we get to the main card. So that was all the prelims there. We get to the main card, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Beneil Dariush versus Scott Holtzman. That's what's up. Yana Kunitskaya versus Julija Stoliarenko. Kind of never heard of her, but I know Yana's good. Yana's like top 5 to 10 range for UFC bantamweights. That's Thiago Santos' boo. I think now we can all say it. We used to see him at the gym together, and it sure looked that way, but I sure as heck wasn't going to put it out there. But yeah, since then, they've been taking all kinds of pictures everywhere. And
she's put a lot into happy. This camp, man. Yeah. I don't know that there's much more she can do. She's been training her ass off. Different places, too. Russia, Brazil, the U.S. Been all over the place.
Two very nice people, but very quiet. They keep to themselves. Darren Stewart versus Maki Patolo. Then we got Chris Weidman versus Omari Akhmedov and Alexei Oleinik versus Derek Lewis. Now, I know some of you listen to us on Sportscaster, and we went over this on Sportscaster, but some of our Sportscaster audience is just our Sportscaster audience, and some Junkie Radio audience is just Junkie Radio audience, and some of you are back and forth, but still, I think it's safer this way. Now you got all your information there again. So 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific for prelims, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for your main card. Any thoughts on the card goes? Any predictions before I move on?
I think both cards are going to be fun, but I'm more excited about Bellator. Well, I'm more excited about the main event at Bellator.
I agree.
So if I only had to watch one, it'd have to be Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
The UFC card overall is going to be fun, but the main event at Bellator really has piqued my interest. And I got to give kudos to Bellator.
Their main card's nice.
Because just on paper, I think it was fun, but Benson and Michael are starting to sell that fight. And it's something that they didn't... Well, Michael used to do it a little bit more, but they're talking a little trash. And the thing about Benson Henderson is, you know, what's one of the main complaints that you get about him is sometimes in fights, it just seems like he almost doesn't care. Like, he doesn't want to be there. You know, you feel like he takes a round off or something. In this particular fight, the buildup, he's addressing that. And he's saying, I know I'm a slow starter. I'm not going to be a slow starter. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So it actually made me more interested in the fight. And now I'm pretty fired up to see this one.
Yeah, I am too. I think that's what I said on Spinning Backlick. I just think there's a little bit more riding on this one, whereas the heavyweights, they're just kind of a bunch of guys that are clowning on each other until you get the Miocic and Cormier have just owned the UFC heavyweight division for like the last 2 years now, it seems like. Because they fight once a year around this time, and I don't know.
But, I mean, it's not like
everyone else is beating each other up.
It's not like Benson Henderson has never done this before. He has said certain things like this, but I kind of believe him this time around. I think he knows the position that he's in. He's got to react, and I sort of believe him this time. And this is definitely a very big win for him if he can get it. For Michael Chandler, there's so much on the line in this fight. That's what makes it so interesting. It's like, what happens to Michael Chandler if he loses? Like, I don't know that you can go to another organization and really get the price that you want. He has to get a win, and not only just get a win, like he's probably got to be somewhat destructive in this fight, right? Because the people that you're trying to sell yourself to, the UFC, that's their most stacked division. They're probably looking at him going, I don't know if you've looked at the rankings, player, but we got all kinds of options, you know? Like, what is it that you're going to bring? So he's got to mention names like Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje, and sell himself that way, you know, what those guys have been able to do over there at the UFC, and really maybe pick out a couple people, start putting out Khabib quotes or something.
They did come
over
as
champions
and winners.
Yeah, it's true. Meaning
winning their last bout. So this one's important for Chandler.
Very important.
In that regard. You're right. Henderson said, there's the on the front page of MMA Junkie right now, there's an article that says, Henderson... this is his quote. Chandler isn't the knockout warrior he thinks he is. So I looked it up. Chandler has won, 20 fights, I said? 20 and 5. 8 have been by KO, 7 by submission. See, I think he's a knockout artist because I've seen some nice ones. Now, he doesn't have a record where he's won 20 times and 16 are by KO. Like, that's what you see out of like a Derek Lewis or an Anthony Johnson or whatever. But the reason is they're not trying to submit anyone either. They're just winging and winging and winging and they eventually catch you, I guess. Chandler has 7 submissions. So what Chandler is a finisher. He's finished 15 of 20. That puts him at 75%. It's not bad. 80's a little nicer usually, but 75%. And remember, he's been in a lot of title fights, a lot of 5-round fights. That means he's fighting the toughest guys. Sometimes you just can't finish somebody.
Well, yeah, how many people are going to take the beatings that... And there, it wasn't a one-way beating, but you know what Eddie Alvarez had to endure in 2 fights, I don't know that a lot of 155ers are standing at the end of that fight. Vice versa, I don't know that you know a lot of them can take what Eddie dished out in those 2 fights as well, so... Michael Chandler, his record's probably a little deceiving, but he has to get a win. If he wants to be able to get a UFC contract or something big, and even, you know, even with a win, I think he probably has to get ready for the reality that he's probably going to get offered less money than what he would get if he stayed at Bellator, I think. But the potential to make more money is there. So really what it comes down to for him is if he really believes that he has the skills to take guys like Justin Gaethje and Khabib Nurmagomedov off the map, then you sign with the UFC and you take less money because you know you're going to make more money. It's that simple.
Yeah. All right. Tune in again on Friday. Check that fight out. Speaking of a knockout artist, let's talk about it. Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis has some impressive stats. And A, he's good. B, he fights frequently. But this is his 20th appearance since 2014. That's the second most, or the most in his own division, and the second most in all the UFC. Two, of course, Donald Cerrone. Cerrone's fought 24 times. Not ever just since 2014. Lewis's 14 victories in UFC heavyweight competition are the fourth most in divisional history behind Andre Arlovsky, Frank Mir, and Junior Dos Santos, three former champions. So that's victories in the heavyweight division, fourth most in history. His 10 stoppage victories in UFC heavyweight competition are tied for fifth most behind Mir, Arlovsky, Gonzaga, and Struve. Mir has 13, the other three have 11. So if he gets one more stoppage victory, and Lewis isn't really submitting people, folks, means a KO, then he will be tied with Arlovsky, Gonzaga, and Struve. Now, his 10 knockout victories in the UFC heavyweight competition are tied with Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez for the most in divisional history.
And that's our alarm telling us that Derek Lewis is a badass.
Mm-hmm. So the stat there with stoppages where Mir has 13, Mir probably had some submissions that takes him up to 13. The next one's clear where we're just talking about knockout victories. He's tied with Dos Santos and Cain. So if he were to knock out Alexi Olenek, he would have the most UFC knockouts in divisional history, in heavyweight history. That's pretty amazing. Now, behind Thiago Santos, he finds himself behind Thiago Santos when you include active fighters in the organization in regards to knockout victories. So if he gets to 11, he'll tie Thiago Santos, for that's the most in any division, active fighters. But he'll have the most in heavyweight history because he will have beaten Dos Santos and Cain Velasquez. Now, to be fair, Cain Velasquez, or I think Cain's retired, but Junior Dos Santos fights Jairzinho Rozenstruik the following week, I believe, UFC 252. So I guess he could tie him again.
Yeah, it could all change.
Yeah.
Derek Lewis is very deceptive, and a lot of people just look at him and think that's a knockout artist, but I think he's made a lot of changes in his career. Little by little, I think he's gotten better, and it just doesn't really show because that's all we know him for, are knockouts. But he has added some wrinkles to his game, and I think it's going to be his night. I think it'll be a good night for him, but I think you're going to know very early on how that fight's going to go. I don't know if you watched, he put out a video, dude, that had me laughing my ass off last night. But you know that the food company, the food prep company that they have?
Mm-hmm.
What are they called? Do you remember? Mm-hmm. I forget. Well, anyways, they had sent him his food, but then they also sent him, by accident, Olenek's food. So he was showing that off, and then he was making minor adjustments to Alexi's food so he could mail it to him. Basically, he gave it a secret sauce. He opened it up and spitting it.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to send it to him. I think he's just being dumb, but it was a pretty funny video. Yeah, but if you look at the Black Beast, he was slim, dude.
That's an alpha male joke. Don't get me wrong. But yet, I don't think you, a main eventer at this point, you don't send it, but you can.
Oh, no. Yeah. Who would even, I mean, by then if the seal's broken, I wouldn't eat that shit.
You never know, man. You never know if you're hungry. What is their food name? I forget. Let me see.
If you give me the first letter of it, I bet you I could figure it out.
Trifecta or something? Yeah, okay. It was going to bug me. Sorry, I'm on one of those missions today where I'm like, I gotta know. I got to figure it out. All right. There's a few more Derek Lewis stats, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give them all. I want you to check out the article. It's called UFC on ESPN Plus 32, Pre-Event Facts, Derek Lewis on the Verge of Being KO King. I think I did this last time, and I want to give it some love every time there is a card. You should check it out. Mike Bond does it. And what it does, it's kind of like your crib notes, your
your Cliff Notes, to the event, your fun facts. So if you go to a party or, I don't know, you're hosting something over Zoom, or it's some interesting fun facts that just kind of perk up the card a little bit. Like, here's one about Chris Weidman. He returns to the middleweight division after an unsuccessful one fight stint at light heavyweight in October 2019. We all remember that one. Weidman became the first male fighter in UFC history to win a championship with an undefeated record and go on to successfully defend the belt more than once when he defeated Lyoto Machida at UFC 175. There you go. However, he's 1-5 in his past six fights dating back to December 2015. Now, he's been competitive in some of them, but eventually he has lost them. So, yeah, shout out to Mike Bond. He's actually up for Best Journalist along with John Morgan.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah, he sure does. So that's one of his babies, is those statistical articles. Check it out. On August 9th, we have August 9th and 10th. It's back-to-back Ryzen cards. So Ryzen is a promotion in Japan, and I know I'm talking to a bunch of new fans, but I really hear we have a lot of new fans. So you can check it out. And it's Sunday, August 9th and Monday, August 10th. Yokohama, Japan is the location. And they're going to have hybrid cards. On the first fight card, it's 7 MMA bouts and 2 kickboxing. Your main event that night is Yusaka Yachi versus Roberto De Souza. And on the next night, you have 6 MMA bouts, 3 kickboxing. They get down in a ring over there. So the main event there is Hiromasa Okikubu versus Kai Asakura. So there you have it. Check it out. I'm not going to really dive into that card. You won't recognize a lot of the names. In the past, some really good names have come out of there. In fact, yesterday, I saw Farah Hanoun, one of our reporters, interviewing Yuri Prochaska. And he fought at Ryzen recently before he was in the UFC. So they have developed some good talent over there. And you should definitely tune in. You're going to have to check your local listings there, because it's confusing with the whole... if I give you August 9th and 10th, depending on what time zone you're on, it's really technically the next day. So I'm gonna let you guys check that out. But it's all on the MMA Junkie schedule tab, or you can go to Ryzen Direct and get it. But if you're really, really digging the sport you fell in love with during the pandemic, when all the other sports were gone, there's a ton of it this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. All right, let's touch on some of the news out there. Well, this one sucked, because when I saw it, Kevin Lee underwent a second surgery. Remember how he tore his ACL? He tore the other one. So I want to be specific. He had a second knee surgery, but it's the other one. Now, Lee is 18-6 overall, 11-6 in the UFC. He underwent surgery for a torn left ACL 3 months ago. This time, he tore his right one.
During rehab, though.
I know.
What, you've been through that sort of rehab. I don't know that he would be that far along in the first rehab, right? Where he's like actually...
Well, remember, Tony Ferguson changes things a little bit. Tony Ferguson did a complete rehab in 5 months. Now, I don't think Kevin Lee had that type of urgency. Mm-hmm. But
I don't think he wanted it.
But if he pressed it in any way, and he was, favoring one over the other. But yeah, if he pressed it in any way or just stepped wrong, it could have just been random. Again, back to Tony Ferguson, he hurt his knee once at the Fox studio by tripping over one of those thick cords, just stepping on it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be as simple as that. Without talking to Kevin, I don't know exactly how this happened, but he's 3 months recovered from one, and now he tore the other. I guess using the 9-month timeline, he still had 6 months to go on the first one. So if he tore the other one, if there ever was going to be a time to do it, maybe it's now. Maybe he, using, again, the 9-month timeline, if everything goes smoothly, by the time he recovers from the second one, it'll be 12 months from the first one. Thereby, he would have been gone a year, which if you remember after his last fight, he said, I may want to be gone for 2 years. That's how frustrated he was. Mm-hmm. So it's never a good time to tear your knee, but I guess if you were going to do it, this might be how this might be how you would want to, I think, if you're also looking for that space and time away from the sport. I don't know. I'm trying to liven up the situation here because I feel bad for the guy.
I do too, but I'm no doctor. But I would imagine if the other one is barely 3 months into recovery and he's got a new one, that's kind of scary, dude. Did you snooze it? You got to actually turn it off.
Yeah.
I got to imagine that the other one is still kind of weak. You know, like, that's the thing is a lot of people with these knee injuries, the one knee's hurt, and while that one's getting better, then the good one actually starts to go down a little bit because it's having to do double work, right? Mm-hmm. In this case, now he's got two knees that aren't 100%. Like, I don't know that there's really much he can do, right? Other than just kind of sit around and just...
You can ride a bike and, I mean, you get to that motion way before you get to... running and exploding and then the pivoting and all that.
Well, I'm just saying just every day, like, but walking and stuff like that, like you said, just a little thing, like what happened to Tony Ferguson, at least before he had the good leg to post on, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, you kind of, now you don't have that. So I think like everyday stuff is
as far
scary.
As your everyday, you get to the point where you can put pressure and get around and do what you need to do pretty quickly. It's just the really athletic stuff is when the stuff you really have to baby and go slow on. If you pay attention to your rehab, they'll guide you through it. But you can eat. Like, I have a buddy named Victor. Shout out to Victor. He tore a knee ligament when he was a mail carrier. Mm-hmm. And all he did was step off the curb wrong. So you obviously saw me when I was 3 months in and I was just walking around. And if I told you, goes, I'm going to go check the mail. I could have easily stepped off the curb and tore the other one, I guess. I don't know. It's really that random. So hard to say, you know, if he got sloppy in any way or what may have happened. But we wish him the best. This is a quick quote that he put on Instagram, so I'll read it. Quote, I heard it while trying to recover from this one. But honestly, I'm not that discouraged about it. I feel like I've been on this path for a long ass time, like the last 10 years. And I've seen all this. He said shit happening, I think. It says expletive. I didn't know I was going to have it, but I knew for sure it was going to happen. I guess God wants me to have two strong knees. So when I come back, I'm going to expletive somebody up. Now then or there, I think he said fuck somebody up. I feel like I'm on the right path. God bless him, man. You know, go out there and do your thing. And the division will be waiting for you when you come back. I'm telling you. Sometimes the division passing you by for a bit isn't the end of the world, because what are you going to do? Seriously, what's Kevin Lee going to do? He did knock out Gregor Gillespie, but then he got submitted by Charles Oliveira in March. So what happens there? Well, if I were to look at the landscape, I got, this is the realistic landscape, folks. You got Justin challenging Khabib. This is interim versus undisputed, so they'll be unifying. Who's next? Well, if Conor McGregor decides to fight, he's next. He did technically beat Cowboy at 170, but you know the UFC loves them some Conor McGregor. And then you got your Poiriers of the world, your Fergusons of the world. Let's give a shout out to Oliveira, who I think's won six straight. And then your Daniel Fieras, your Islam Makhachevs. Your Paul Felders, your Dan Hookers. Do you see Kevin Lee anywhere near that? No, he'd have to take out two of those guys and then either Ferguson or Poirier. So I think he's actually three fights away.
Probably.
You know what I mean? So now in the meantime, if by the time he comes back, Conor for sure is retired, or maybe Khabib's retired, and everyone's kind of moved out of the way, then you might find yourself in a decent spot. He's only 27.
He was in good spirits. In the video, he was in good spirits. So I think he's going to be fine, but he's got to make the most out of this time.
Mark Goddard is going to oversee Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier.
these referees, not just Goddard, they've kind of had a little bit of a run here. Herzog in Jacksonville, Herb Dean in Yas Island. I think Mark Goddard got not attacked but pushed recently. You know, they're great at their jobs. Do they make mistakes? Yes, but it is a difficult job. But if you're wondering, that's who's going to be the main event at Miocic versus Cormier.
I don't like it.
Oh, boy. How come?
It's nothing against Goddard. But this, honestly, this fight, I don't know what the hell is going on. But it is not getting the play that it deserves. This is going to go down as one of the greatest heavyweight fights in history. Maybe even one of the most important. Because when you look at their resumes, this is like our Ali Frazier. I think you go with the guy that has the most experience.
Herb Dean.
I think you got to go with Herb Dean. If Big John was still around, it'd be Big John. But I think you go with him in this one. It's nothing against Mark Goddard. I don't think he's a bad referee. But it's such an important fight that I think you just go with the most experienced dude.
Okay. Both fighters had a chance to say they didn't want Herb. And I could have sworn about 5-8 years ago, Cormier did have a problem with Dean. And I only thought of this as you were saying it. And I'm not going to look it up because we're running out of time. But supposedly they talked it out and everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to say is both fighters do have the opportunity to say when they're choosing the ref, anybody but this guy. And you can only say it once. And you got to say it before they choose it. So now that they announced it, I don't think, now, maybe the sports changed, but I don't think Cormier could call Dana White or call Mark Radner and go, nope, not that guy. I think it was too late. I think once it's done, it's done. But what he could have done was, hey, I heard today the NSAC is going to be ruling on who the ref is. I want anyone but that guy. And then they'll go, okay, noted. And then they would say it's... Not, it was going to be Goddard, but it's not because it's now Herzog. And then Cormier can't come back and go, no, not that guy either. Mm-hmm. Or back to Goddard. He can't do that. He can only do it one time. It's got to be pre the choosing. Zabit is calling out Volkanovski. Quote, let's try new blood. You know, I appreciate his effort, man.
Well, what else is he going to do?
Yeah, I don't want to see Volkanovski versus Max. It's nothing against Max. I thought Max won the second fight, but they didn't give it to him. I don't want to see it. So I appreciate someone getting vocal. Korean Zombie, Ortega. I'm not hearing any quotes from anybody. I guess Ortega technically is coming off a loss. You know, Ortega is almost coming up on 2 years without fighting.
Mm-hmm. Well, sort of.
Well, because he slapped the Korean guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should be on his Tapology.
Yeah. Somebody else, too, is coming up on 2 years. I just noted it the other day.
Don't look it up.
Why do things like that bug me?
I don't know.
It's going to come to me. Oh, Santiago Ponzinibbio, who's on seven fight win streak. Yeah, November of 2018.
How's that possible?
He had that blood infection.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So on Sportscaster, I believe we came up with this, or maybe it was Junkie Radio Monday. We said, all right. Dana White tells us, you guys win, Garcia brothers. It ain't going to be Alex and Volkanovski. Then we think they're an organization that loves prize fighting. They're going to go with the Korean Zombie, which would leave Zabit, Ortega, Cater, and Holloway. Ooh, that's a fearsome foursome right there.
Okay.
Who would you match up? Well,
Cater and Holloway.
Yeah, you don't want to do Cater Zabit because they've already done it once.
Cater and Holloway would be a great fight.
And then, who does that leave?
That leaves Zabit.
Ortega and Zabit. Ooh, okay. That's nice,
That too. Would be fun, too.
Yeah. In fact, I think they were supposed to fight a couple years ago.
I like that Zabit's doing it because nobody else really is. You know, they're talking about when I get to the belt, you know, that sort of thing.
Maybe that's why the UFC's just like, you know what? We're going to go with this other one. We need to make some money, and nobody's barking, so fuck them.
Maybe. I don't know. I would have liked to. I actually think that would be a great matchup with the Zombie, but it's already got a fight.
Well, you asked earlier about why the Frazier and Ali isn't getting much pub.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more from Stipe's side. He's just not really a champion that oozes charisma or puts himself out there or does much media. In fact, he answers questions very abruptly, or he gives you quick, short offended answers. He's abrupt and, you know, he...
I don't know, he doesn't like some of the questions that come his way. And so as a interviewer, you're just like, well, how about we wrap it up?
He likes them when he's winning. When he's winning, mm-hmm. he'll answer whatever question. When he's losing, he's not really feeling answering questions or anything like that.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, when you're dry like that, okay, God bless you, you know. But when you retire, you're going to walk away from the sport anywhere with, if you were once champ, probably $1 million to maybe $10 million less in your bank account because you didn't find a way to rise up to the occasion when you were supposed to do your media. There's ways to connect. You know, DC's pretty good at it. I have fun when we interview him. He's got a show out there on ESPN. I can't imagine that you don't know he's fighting. But a lot of people, I wouldn't blame them if they said, so when's Stipe fighting? Because you really don't know.
But he's not over the top. That's the thing. Like, Cormier is good at it, but he's not over the top. He's not Dylan Danis. He's not on Twitter every day calling random people out doing shit like that. Cormier. He's just being kind of a regular guy, but when he has his opportunities, he steps up. It kind of reminds me a little bit of George Foreman. Like, George Foreman was kind of like a funny cat. You know, he'd say funny shit from time to time, but he knew when to chirp, when not.
And he just wasn't over the top. He didn't have the benefit of social media. See, I think Miocic, as a fireman, he's probably got, when he goes in
very
for shit,
marketable.
There's got to be, how many people are in a firehouse at one time? Probably six, maybe? I don't know, right?
I think more.
Eight? He could sit down and go, guys, you guys know I'm kind of a nerd, but I'm the baddest guy on the planet. Help me out here. Let's get creative. There's got to be some creative guy that goes, hey, do this, say this, make this video, post this. Here's a meme. I don't know. Something like that to just kind of get it going like the way Habib used to. Habib slowed down in that department, but just the way people, you know, are kind of creative like that. Just do it. Just do it for like a month or two as it leads up into your fight, you know?
I just don't get it because he's actually funny. He's funny. He's creative. He has that personality. He just doesn't want to. Like, it's almost like he doesn't want the MMA world to know it.
I agree. Darren Till recently did an interview with ESPN. He vows to become a UFC champion. He says, quote, I won't be able to retire if I don't become one of the best. I kind of like that. Put a little pressure on himself, but I kind of like it. That shows you how much he loves being a fighter and how much he wants to be a champ. So anyone that's on that train is going to stay on that train. I like it. The Junkie Radio, the USA Today Sports MMA Junkie Rankings came out. Wasn't too many moves, but Derek Brunson did swap a spot with Gegard Mousasi. If you want to check it out, the post is there. And then Jim Miller versus Vince Pichel. I like that fight. What I can't believe is that they just added it to the prelims for the fight card next week. What is this, Pride again? I guess I'm going to use the same joke over and over. The fights are on August 15th. Today's August 6th. Why are we just hearing about it? I guess they must have told Miller and Pichel, hey, stay ready. We may need you. We just don't know where, I guess. But come on. Miller's got over 30 fights. Where's the respect?
Even if they told them that 3 weeks prior, that's still only a month.
Is it just them telling them, look, we're paying you. Shut the fuck up and just show up to Vegas?
I think so.
And they were all, so everybody's got an email or they're on notice, train, because we may call you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like American Gladiators or something.
All right. I know that when we talked to Jim Miller, he thought he could still have some sort of a run in him so that he can finish strong, you know, as a contender. And of course, I think I even told him always stay on the same card as the champ was another thing I told him. That way, you can maybe slip in there if the time is right, just like Michael Bisping did. Well, Bisping actually wasn't on the card. He was just ready. And he rose the occasion. He has world champion on his resume. You can never take that away from him. Anyway, Brian Kelleher versus Ricky Simon, September 5th. See, they got a little bit of time. Miller versus Pichel in less than a week. Come on. I mean, that doesn't even give us time to call them and go, hey, let's preview the fight. It's literally right on our laps. Anyway, we're going to get on out of here, folks. Check out all the coverage on MMA Junkie. Good stuff in there. You can find out where Henan Barao's headed. There's another fight here, Rodolfo Vieira versus Marcus Perez. Tyron Woodley talking about Colby Covington is probably the biggest fight of my career.
There's a recap there of an interview that we had with Israel Adesanya. He says he'll be ready, even though his fight's on October 24th. He'll be ready if something happens to the Adesanya-Costa fight on September 19th, so that he's already in fight shape, or will be in fight shape, so that if he needs a last-minute call, you can call on him. Lots of stuff there again. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at MMA Junkie George. Goes is at The Goes. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. And don't forget to catch us Wednesdays over on Sportscaster. Yesterday we had a fun time talking to Bruce Buffer. Man, that guy's a serious collector. Go over to sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie and you can check out all of our episodes. And if you look on Wednesdays, if you just go back every 7 days, it's easy. Like if you go today, it'll say Wednesday, August 5th or something like that. Then just go back 7 days before that. And then seven, and then seven, and then seven. And those are the shows where we've had all of our guests. Now, in between them is you'll see some watch-alongs that we do from time to time. In fact, we'll be doing a watch-along for UFC 252, not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday. And that's when we watch the fights along with you guys. More on that next week. We're going to get on out of here. Go out there and be a champion.